Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
We always have football news, and Mike Florio always keeps you abreast of everything that is going on. He joins us now in the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports is here. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, I want to say I loved your baseball writing over the last couple of days. Just this concept
I got more.
Oh, you do? bring it.
Rob Manfred is under siege now. Now he knows how Roger Goodell feels. He's going to have to go hide under the desk for 10 days because they're coming for him. He's the problem that this thing has continued to linger. He should have taken away the World Series trophy from the get-go. This is the most egregious example of cheating that I've ever seen. This is the equivalent in football of having intercepted the coach-to-quarterback communication system on every play, knowing if it's a run, knowing if it's a pass. Can you imagine the advantage that would be if the defense knew on every play in a Super Bowl-winning season, run or pass, every play? They should have taken away the trophy. The players understand that the action they've taken isn't sufficient, and he's going to be pressured either to take away that trophy or get replaced, and the next commissioner will take away the trophy. But I in my heart, in my gut, I feel like that trophy eventually is going to be taken away.
Yeah, it probably will, and hopefully not by a commissioner named Rob Manfred, but somebody else, because I wouldn't mind that change at all.
Yeah, I've seen some of the sentiment around baseball is it already has been, that whether or not it has to be actually enacted and signed away, that in the eyes of the game itself, it has effectively already been done.
And that's kind of the point I think he was making on Sunday in very inartful fashion. What's the point of taking away the trophy, because in the eyes of anyone who gets it, the trophy already has been taken away? But that's the strongest argument in favor of finishing the job. And the problem is, it's too late for him to do it without looking like a boob. But the mere fact that he came out and apologized for calling the thing a piece of metal and the blowback he got from that, I think that at this point, it's a question of when the owners realize that they got to throw this guy under the bus. I mean, they got rid of Faye Vincent for far less than this. Yeah. And I think Manfred is going to be on his way out. I think he needs to be. Look, sorry, it's a big boy world. It's a big boy job. And if you can't handle it under moments of adversity, it's very easy to guide the ship through clear, open waters. When icebergs start popping up and you direct the boat right into the heart of it, then it's time for you to be off the ship.
You know, this is going to sound romantic for me because I'm generally not that. But when you mentioned Faye Vincent, the one thing about him, he loved baseball. He genuinely loved baseball. And you can say what you want about some of these guys, even, you know, Roger Goodell, who could be just a complete meathead sometimes. I think he genuinely loves NFL football. And he might be obviously a highly flawed commissioner. But when you have a commissioner who's highly flawed and somehow just doesn't give you any sense that he has a place in his heart for the game and for the sport, that bugs me.
Well, and I think that's one of the reasons why the NFL has resisted the notion that because it is a multi-billion dollar business and getting bigger all the time, that its commissioner needs to be from the CEO industry, where you just go from Xerox to HP to Coke to Applebee's to wherever. And it's not about what the business is. It's that you are a professional executive who knows how to get things done at a high level and surrounds yourself with a team of people who supply you the information necessary to make big picture decisions. That's your skill set. They want somebody who is football through and through at the top of the sport. And that's kind of been the philosophical debate as they get closer to the point where they're going to have to replace Roger Goodell. Are they going to get a professional CEO, or is it going to be somebody else who has a track record of giving their entire career to the game of football?
Let's talk about a team that's won a championship and also been embroiled in a cheating scandal, but in the NFL this time, the Saints and Drew Brees are back for another season. I wouldn't imagine there's any surprise for you that Drew Brees is back, but what does this do to the dominoes down the way?
Well, I don't think it really affects anything because we expected him to come back, and he made a Freudian slip with us at the Super Bowl, and we busted him on it when we tried to get him to pick the Chiefs or the 49ers. He said, well, you know, we play both of these teams next year. We're like, aha! But I think he did. I think in his effort to avoid picking a winner in the Super Bowl, he exposed what he was going to do all along. What it does is it puts Taysom Hill in play, kind of. We don't know what the Saints are paying Drew Brees, and they got $21.3 million in cap space from past contracts that will have to be dealt with. So, you know, they're going to have a quarterback budget, and they need Brees, and they have Brees, and they probably already agreed before Brees decided what he was going to do, how much they'll pay him. We need to know what that is, because then the rest of the quarterback budget has to go to Taysom Hill, and I think they're ready to match any offer that another team may make to Taysom Hill to try to pilfer him, and then they have to have a backup who can run the Drew Brees base offense. You know, I think one of the reasons why Teddy Bridgewater started all five games last year when Drew Brees was injured was because you'd have to concoct a completely different Lamar Jackson-style offense for Taysom Hill on the fly. They need a guy who can back up Drew Brees, and they're not going to be able to afford Bridgewater. So they need to have enough money to pay Brees, which they're going to do, Taysom Hill, which they'd like to do, and have a veteran who can come in and be the backup to Drew Brees and step in if Brees gets injured again.
Just for sake of bookkeeping here, Mike, you said that the Saints would match any contract offered to Taysom Hill. Not a quarterback contract, though, correct?
Well, and that's where it gets interesting, because I could see somebody offering the guy between $10 and $15 million a year to be a jack of all trades, right? Which is nothing under today's quarterback market, which is going to be north of $40 million at the moment Patrick Mahomes signs his name to a new deal, whenever that may be. I think from Hill's perspective, what he needs to ask himself is, do I just take the amount of the tender offer? And I expect them to make a first-round tender offer to Taysom Hill. But if he knows that next year he's the franchise quarterback of the New Orleans Saints and they view him that way. You know, Sean Payton is not a master of gratuitous hyperbole. He's compared the guy to Steve Young. When I saw that in August, I thought, holy crap. And that's when I started paying closer attention to Taysom Hill. And the naysayers will say, oh, he's only thrown 13 career passes. I don't care. Sean Payton, one of the great play callers and play designers of all time, has said the guy is Steve Young. I'm paying attention. And he was the best player on the field for either team in the wild card loss to the Vikings, to the point where Paul Allen of KFAN, who does the Viking game, said when Drew Brees, on the play where Brees fumbled and the game turned back in the Vikings' direction, he said, I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm relieved Drew Brees is back in the game. That's what Taysom Hill did in that game. And I think that Hill may just say, I'll take the RFA tender, and then next year, the Saints either give me a franchise quarterback contract or I go get one from someone else.
You know, I'll put me in the I just don't get it camp on this one, especially because his injury history going back to college is horrible.
Oh, that's the concern. Oh, horrible. That's definitely the concern. That's the big concern. I'm not concerned about him learning an offense because I'm confident Sean Payton will design an offense that will get the most out of his abilities. And his physical ability is at the freakazoid level. It's incredible. When he was just a special teamer getting started, they would play his film in the meeting room, and they would make fun of all the other guys on special teams because it looked like they weren't hustling. That's how much faster and explosive he is than the other guys who were running down to cover a kick. Back when he was just a guy who was playing special teams. So this guy's special, but can he stay healthy? That's the real question. You design this offense, you put him out there, and he starts getting banged around, and you're right, he's got the injury history, and it doesn't get any easier when you're at the big boy level.
What do you know about the room in which Tom Brady is receiving all of these teams? I mean, is this the television room? Is it the pool? Is it the athletic workout room? Is it the avocado ice cream making room?
No, I think there will be a throne involved.
Sure,
right?
Of course.
At a minimum, an elevated chair.
Yeah.
Something, a dais of some sort. But there will be... look, this is. I thought the ultimate boss move for Tom Brady would be to do a Reggie White free agency tour, which we haven't seen really since Reggie White. Peyton Manning kind of did it. And it makes everyone who's interested wait on signing other quarterbacks, because there's going to be a land rush for these guys. But if Tom Brady says, oh, wait, if you're interested in me, you have to do it by my rules. And if his rules are going to be, you come see me, that is the ultimate flexing of the muscles by the greatest quarterback of all time. And look, football is football, but it's also a business. And it's more of a business than it is anything else. You sign Tom Brady, you're going to sell out all your tickets. You're going to sell out all your suites. The people are actually going to show up and buy all the overpriced crap. And everybody's going to have a Brady jersey in his new colors, because he's been the highest seller, or one of the highest sellers, for 20 years. Where are all these freaking Tom Brady jerseys? Well, there's going to, whatever team, insert the team, you put Brady on the back, 12 on the front, 12 on the back, 12 on the sleeves, and that thing is going to sell. And that is the aspect of this that is getting overlooked the most. It is going to be a brilliant business decision for the team that signs this guy.
Do you think he can still really throw?
I think he can throw. The question is his legs. And I was told this by someone who knows quarterbacks very well a couple of years ago, as Tom Brady was approaching or turning 40. Don't watch his arm. He'll be able to throw like he does into his 50s. Watch his legs. Because the moment he loses the ability in the pocket, and he's not a mobile guy per se, where his skill set arises in the pocket is that ability to step up and step away and slide away. He's got that sixth sense where he knows the walls are closing in. And we see guys like Kirk Cousins who go deer in the headlights when the walls close in. Brady, that's when he thrives, and he knows how to get away from that pressure. The moment his legs won't respond as quickly as his brain needs them to, that's when he starts getting hit. That's when he starts getting hurt. And there were some plays this year, if you watch closely, where he kind of throws and bails out because he's trying to avoid the number of hits he's taken. Against the Chiefs, game on the line, 4th-and-3, I think it was, threw the ball to the end zone, missed Julian Edelman. You watch that play, he had Frank Clark coming right at him, and he did the duck and cover as soon as he let go of the football because he didn't want to get blown up by Frank Clark. That's the other thing to watch. How much of his accuracy is he willing to sacrifice because he's just got to get the hell out of the way of a 22-year-old guy that is ready to blow him into the front row of the stadium and out of the game for good, possibly.
Mike, I was talking to people who cover the league the other day, and they brought something up that I hadn't really considered. What is the potential of a new CBA pushing off the start of free agency because a new salary cap might come in at a higher level, which would change teams' ability to spend? Is this on the table?
Oh, they can do whatever they want. They can delay. It's arbitrary date anyway. It's March 18. I mean, they can move it back if they want to. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, I have long believed that the start of free agency, the start of the new league year, was kind of the closest thing to a real deadline to get this deal done. The impetus now, I firmly believe, is the desire of the league to parlay labor peace into the new multi-billion dollar TV contracts. And this is one of the reasons why I think the NFLPA is trying, at the very top, the leadership is trying to get the players to accept 17 games, because they're going to accept 17 games in August of 2021 when a lockout is about to cancel games and cause players to forfeit game checks. At that point, the choice isn't 17 games or 16 games. It's 17 games or zero games. And faced with that choice, they're going to take 17. And I think D. Smith, the executive director of the union, he realizes if we wait until then and the window has been blown on getting the maximum TV deals, because you're going to have ratings drop this year with the presidential election, you're going to have a potential recession that they're concerned about next year. If the window closes and the money isn't there, the league's going to take it from the players. They're still getting theirs. So the offer is going to be a lot worse in August of 2021. That's why I think they're trying to do it now. And I got the sense over the weekend, it really is moving in that direction. Not so much as let's get it done before free agency, let's get it done so we can turn around and make a ton of money off of the networks. But if it's all going to get done in the next month, and yeah, let's say they get to the week before the start of free agency and they aren't quite there yet, I could see them putting a pin in the start of free agency for a week or two, or really until the early to mid part of April. They've got that kind of flexibility, if they want to do it, to wait for free agency if they think they're going to get the new CBA done.
Give me a primer in how to look at what is being said about these various quarterbacking spots, because I know that there are agenda-driven agents who are very happy to push things into the bloodstream to prevent someone from going somewhere, or to keep a spot open for one of their guys, whether it's Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton or any of the other moving parts. How are they trying to game the system with public information?
Oh, they're just lying. They're just flat out lying. The report from ESPN the other day about Teddy Bridgewater's market being at $30 million a year, I can guarantee you, there isn't much I can guarantee you right now because there is so much BS. I guarantee you that that was put out there by an agent who wants to scare teams away from Bridgewater so the teams will be more interested in the quarterback or quarterbacks that that agent represents. And I don't know who, but it's somebody who's trying to scare teams away from Bridgewater. Now, it's such a low-tech, goofy way to manipulate the process because all these teams have to do is call up Teddy Bridgewater's agent and say, hey, you know, are you 30 million? Are you really? No, not 30 million. And I mean, the guy's started six games since the 2015 season. So I think there's a lot of crap like out there. Last week, the rumors about Matthew Stafford possibly being traded by the Lions. Somebody told me, hey, here's what's happening. You've got agents who are planning this, suggesting that the Colts or the Buccaneers or the Chargers are going to trade for Matthew Stafford to get agents to shy away from those teams so the opening is there to swoop in with your own client. I mean, it really is weird, but that's what's happening. It's already happening. Somebody asked me yesterday, is Tom Brady going to become a free agent? I said he already is because right now the teams are making it known what they're willing to pay, who they're interested in. It will reach a crescendo at the scouting combine next week. And that's why, watch Tom Brady after the scouting combine. If within a week to 10 days after that he doesn't have a deal with the Patriots, it will be time for him to build that throne and get ready to receive his visitors from various points from sea to shining sea. And he could maybe even wear a throne. I think he would look good in a throne or in a crown. Get a crown, sit on the throne, and get one of those big necklaces a king has and just let them come in, kiss the ring, kiss the butt, and offer him a ton of money to go play for them.
I love it. Orb and scepter.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you got to have an orb. Yeah, I agree.
Mike, thank you as always.
See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.